couple of weeks back, Pastor mentioned this night, and we said, yeah. We said, yeah. So we feel honored to be here. It's always an honor to stand in His presence, to partake of His virtue through His Word. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank You. We thank You for this night and this time. We thank You for Your holy written Word, Father. We thank You that You will reveal and unveil to us, Father God, truth tonight by the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, He's the one who penned the Word for You. And Father, we yield to Him for utterance. We thank You for it, Father God. We thank You for ears to hear and eyes to see this night, Father, and that we, Father God, will be doers, continual doers of Your holy written Word to receive the benefits thereof in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Last time I was up here, we spoke on rest, and we said, when Pastor talked to me, I said, well, you know, we'll just go back and talk some more about rest. And I was in here praying, and then I got to thinking about faith. And let me just say this. You see people sometime in the body, they get faith and hope mixed up, don't they? Faith says it's mine, I have it now. Hope says I'll get it sometime. The Bible says that we are to walk by faith and not by sight. That the way to please God is to walk by faith. He that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. It says before that, for it's impossible to please Him without that faith. And as my mentor said, one translation says it's impossible to be well-pleasing to God without faith. And God has dealt to every man and every woman the measure of saving faith. Has He not? The Word declares He has. You and I have a measure of saving faith. When we came to Christ, that measure was given unto us. We heard the word of salvation. We believed in our heart. We confessed with our mouth, and we got born again. Amen? Amen. But as we start our walk in the Lord, the Spirit of God expects us to build that faith. To build a faith. Well, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word, doesn't it? I like it this way. Faith comes by hearing and hearing. It ain't going to come by having heard. Faith comes by hearing, hearing, and hearing. The Word teaches us that we are the garden of God. We are His field under cultivation. The Word teaches us that the Word itself is seed for us, does it not? The Word teaches us that we're to water the seed. Well, tonight we're going to water the seed. You might say, well, I know all about faith. I've heard it said. I know what it says. Well, you need to water that seed of what you say you know in your heart, amen? You know, we got a flower, my wife can agree with this. We got a flower when my mother-in-law went on to heaven, that if you don't water that flower that's in our sunroom, it starts to wilt down. You have to go put some water in there and water it. The same is true with me and you, brothers and sisters. If we try to live on stale manna, it don't work. Stale manna don't work for us. In other words, past provision of what we've seen in the Word, We've got to feed upon the Word of God. Amen? Amen. So, I'll try to stick to these notes here. I'm wandering, but that's okay too. Okay. We were over here praying, and the Lord spoke this to me, and Pastor James and I was, this was Sunday morning, and I had told him, I said, we're going to go back and just look at our notes on rest and go back over them. And I was over here praying, and the Spirit of God spoke to me. He said, part of your rest is resting in faith. Is it not? You know, when we were here and I did another service, we talked about how do you enter into rest? By your praise and worship, by your meditation on the Word, by you walking in the truth that you have received from God. Amen. But it says in Hebrews chapter 4 that there's a rest for those who believe. We that believe, it says, have entered into rest. Doesn't it say that? Hebrews chapter 4 says, you have entered into rest because of your belief in the truth of God's Word. It goes on and he said, now there's a deeper rest for you in that same chapter. It says, for the Word of God is quick and powerful than any two-edged sword, able to divide the soul and spirit. So the Word of God enhances my rest in God, right? And of course we just said faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word. My faith grows in feeding upon that Word. And when I have assurance of what that Word says, I have rest. You sit there and you watch today's TV programs, you see the news, you don't feel restful at all, do you? No. No, you hear a negative report. You don't. If you feed on that, you lose your rest. But we think about what God's Word says, amen? We think about what the Spirit of God said to us. And I just read this, okay. Okay, what? Okay, here we go. We mentioned this too. Faith is not hope. Now I'm gonna say something, and it's quite sobering because this happened to us many years ago. We were a part of another ministry, and we had a dear sister, and she was in the leadership part of that ministry, and she was battling cancer, and we were praying, and we were standing with her, and standing with her, trying to believe God with her. And she grew worse. And I tremble thinking about it, but it's true, because this is the truth. We were in church one Sunday morning, and she was sitting right behind us, me and Cece. And she said, just out of spontaneity, I wasn't even speaking to her, but she knew, I guess, the way I thought about the Word concerning faith. She spoke, she said, Brother Tony, I believe the Lord is going to heal me. Brothers and sisters, when I heard that, all the wrong alarms came on. You understand? If you're in here tonight, and you are dealing with stuff, sickness, pain, lack, and you think that I'm going to get it one day, you're in hope. And it's not going to work. That didn't go over too well with some of you, but it's the truth. Faith says it's mine. I have it now. Hope says I'll get it sometime. Faith says it's mine. I have it now. Well, brother, I'm hoping that I'm going to get better. Well, you start faith. And with that, to help with that, I want to read you some definitions of Hebrews 11:1. This is, by the way, this is my old study Bible, my old Rhema study Bible. Got it from Dub Hagen. That was Brother Hagen's brother. He came to our church many years ago. It's about wore out, but it was a good old Bible. Okay, let me read you something. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Now, Moffat's translation says this. Now, faith means that we are confident of what we hope for, convinced of what we do not see. If you're not confident of what you hope for, and you're not convinced of what you do not see, in other words, symptoms might be yelling and screaming at you. Check yourself. Come on now. Let's get real here. I mean, you know, well, I believe God's going to heal me sometime. Faith says it's mine. I have it now. Faith is active. It is not passive. Faith in the Word of God says it's mine. I have it now. I'm not going to get saved sometime, brothers and sisters. I'm born again now. Do I always feel born again? No. But am I born again according to the Word? Yes. Same truth, brothers, with everything God has provided for us. Moffat's translation says that we are confident of what we hope for, convinced of what we do not see. Now, maybe you know people that are dealing with things, physical things per se. Another translation, the first part of the English translation says this, faith is giving substance to things hoped for. So, my faith is giving substance to what I'm hoping for. You know, like I heard my mentor teach it this way. The devil will come at you and say, you got all these symptoms going on in your body. Well, you tell the devil, my faith is giving substance to what I hope for. See, the substance of faith is not seen or felt in the physical realm, but seen in the spiritual realm. Never said that before. That's true. My faith is giving substance to what I'm hoping for. My faith is giving substance to what I'm hoping for. See, I have hope now that I did not have in the world. See, the world has a hope. A worldly hope is a lot of times a wish. Or they see something and say, man, I hope one day I can have that. But when you come to Christ and you get in the Word of God and you begin to follow and grow in the things of God's holy written Word and the unction of His Spirit, your hope turns into earnest expectation. You expect it. Do you know, you see the difference? You expect it. Well, I'm hoping and praying. No, you are expecting. I'm expecting. My hope is giving substance to what I pray for, believe for. That's how it works, brothers and sisters. That's how it works. Another translation says, faith is the warranty deed of the things which we have fondly or finally hoped for. They're at last ours. It's kind of like you get a title. You've been making payments on a car or something, you get a title. You finally get that title. Woo! Look at here, Bo, it's mine. Faith is that deed. It's mine. I just sold a house. That deed said that house was mine. I sold it to somebody else. It's his. Faith is that deed of what I fondly hope for. Is at last mine? It's mine. I have it now. It is. It is. I'm no different from you. I remember here some months ago, that right leg right there, right here, on that place, that thing busted. It scared me, blood everywhere. Cece can tell you. I walked around for days with an open wound there. Devil screaming in my head, that'll never heal up. That'll never heal up. That'll never get better. It's gone. It'll never get better. That'll never get better. You remember so-and-so? He died with an open wound. I mean, just stoop. Brothers and sisters, I'd look at that foot. I wrapped it up and come to church. I wrapped it up and prayed. I had to take my shoe and cut one of my shoes to wear on that foot. But I didn't go around going, well, brother, I just don't know. I kept looking at that foot and said, it's healed in Jesus' name. It's healed in Jesus' name. It's healed in Jesus' name. That thing kept getting better and better and better and better and better. You've been there too. You've been there too when your body screamed something, the devil screamed with it, that body symptom, and you said, the Word says I got it. The Word says I got it. Faith says it's mine. I have it now. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. You know, you hope. You hope for money to pay your bills. Faith says, my God shall supply all my need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Huh? Take it a step farther. I tithe. Somebody don't like it. I tithe. He said He would rebuke the devourer from me and pour the wind out of the pour of the wind, pour out blessings on me. Huh? That's what the Bible says. You hope, and I've been here. You hope for physical strength to do the work you know you need to do. Faith says, the Lord is the strength of my life, my portion forever. Huh? The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead has given life to this body. The same Spirit has given life to me. Simple. How about a simple one? You lay in bed at night and your head's spinning 90 going north. People call that insomnia and all kind of stuff, right? You know, people get up and take stuff. Why not let your faith work and say, your Word says I'll lay my head upon my pillow and my sleep shall be sweet. Why not lay there and just praise yourself to sleep? Why not lay there and say to the devil screaming in your ear, not wanting you to sleep, telling you all these other things, the Word says whatsoever is good, pure, good report, full of virtue, full of praise, think on these things. Devil, I'm not going there, no, I thought life. I'm going to think about Jesus. I'm going to consider Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. I'm not going to consider like Abraham, I'm not going to consider my body. I'm going to consider what God said in His Word. Amen? That's how it works for us. The Word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. Keep the Word in your mouth. Say what God says. Say what God says. Ponder that. Murmur that. That's meditating on it. Walk around if you have to. Lord, You said it. And you just sit there and ponder what God's Word says. Amen? Amen. You with me? Okay. Many people want to receive and then believe they've got it. It doesn't work that way. You have to believe first. Then you receive. Brothers and sisters, it ain't changed. That's the way it works. You have to believe what God says to receive what God has for you. You're in a bad deal in the natural. What does God say? I've told you this before. When they told us that young man sitting beside my wife would never walk, talk, see her here, let him die. And we went to the pastor's house that night. Me and Sissy, we were devastated. I kept hearing on the inside, listen to me. I know I heard this. Those are the words of men. Those are not my words. Those are the words of men. Those are not my words. Those are the words of men. And I spoke it out after about 10 times, hearing it in my inner man. Spirit of God was speaking to me. My wife was over there in tears, just hurting away, and I was too. And the pastor said, you got to rely on the faithfulness of God. And he's talking, and I keep hearing, those are the words of men. Those are not my words. So what do? You grab a hold of what he said. You grab a hold of what he said about your situation and your circumstance. Pastor James says it this way, you'll have many challenges as a Christian. That's why you need to have the word in your heart. Meditate on it, mutter it, think on the word of God. It don't work no other way. Sometimes God allows the gifts to flow and people get what they need through the manifestations of the Spirit. But that's as the Spirit wills. That's not a guarantee. Did you hear what I said? Some of us who's been in the kingdom of God a long time, he's looking at us and he's saying, you know what I told you. You know what I taught you. You walk ye in it. That ain't hard, brothers and sisters. That's good. That's good to be able to do that. It's good to do it. Are you with me? Glory to God. Amen. I got this circled. We may say we know God's word is good, but we will never really know until we have acted on it and have reaped its results. Faith is giving substance to things hoped for. That's what I just said. You, when you get it, because you acted on it, then ain't nobody can take that from you. It just builds something inside of you, so when the next thing comes along, you say, I done been here. I done been here. Here goes David. I done been here. I got that lion, and I got that bear. So you Philistine giant, I ain't worried about you. You hear me? Hallelujah. Well, let me say this. Let me read you something from my notebook here, my book. John Wesley once said that the devil has given the church a substitute for faith, one that looks and sounds so much like faith that few people can tell the difference. This substitute he called mental assent. Many people read God's word and agree that it is true, but they are agreeing only with their minds, and that is not what gets the job done. It is heart faith that receives from God. Simple truth. I was taught that in 82, 83. You don't get it up here. You got it up here is one thing, but when you get it in here, that's something else. Jesus said you would get what you desired when you believed it in your heart and you kept it in your mouth. Did he not? 11th chapter of Mark. 23, 24. You got to have it in here. Amen? And of course, you've got even Christians that's got the faith of Thomas. Thomas' faith says, unless I see it, I ain't going to believe it. Didn't he? He said, unless I see it, I ain't going to believe it. What did Jesus say to Thomas? He said, Thomas, blessed are they that believe and have not seen. I've used that part of that verse of Scripture many times, brothers and sisters. When I didn't have it and I was standing on it, I remember I would say, Lord, you said I'm blessed because I'm believing and I ain't seen it in the natural yet. Are you with me? Amen. Amen. Today, this afternoon, Cece and I were getting ready to go to Laurinburg, and I was in there, I was changing clothes, and I was thinking about the woman with the issue of blood, and I think we're getting ready to go there right now. I was just pondering her. And you know, Brother Melvin was going to preach on her the other Sunday, but he went somewhere else. But that's fine. God had him go somewhere else. But he started talking about the woman with the issue of blood, if you can remember. But he didn't get there all the way. But that's good. That's fine, too. We ain't getting where we were going to go. But listen to me. I was pondering her. And I heard, brothers, I love every one of you. Sisters, I love every one of you, but you're not going to take this from me. I know I heard this from myself. You might already know it. This might be old stuff to you, but to me, it took me one step higher. I heard the Lord said, he asked me this question. The Holy Ghost did. He said, did she say she could be healed, or did she say she would be healed? Simple question. I went to Sissy. She was fixing her pretty hair. It's always pretty, you know, but she's fixing her pretty hair. I said, Sissy, did the woman with the issue of blood say she could or she would? And she said she would. I said, that's big to me, because I heard the Spirit of God say she was or would. She said, if I can touch his garment, I will be healed. But see, the Holy Spirit was helping me understand the difference of hope and faith. I mean, I heard him. He asked me, he said, did she say she would or she could? You know, you come to church. You come up and get prayed for. When you come to get prayed for, you need to come knowing you're going to get what you come up to get prayed for. Did you hear what I... In other words, you was going to get it. You would. Huh? Now, see, that to me, that's good stuff. No, old Tony, I knew that. Well, it's a different thing, brother and sister, when you hear the Spirit of God say to you, just out of nowhere, he said, did she say she would or that she could? And, I said, I believe she said she would. And then he said, well, there's the difference. A lot of people think he can, but will he? Did you get it? No, he's willing that you do. You know, he told the leopard, he said, he answered that deal. Brian had Brother Hagin playing on the TV today, and I was hearing Brother Hagin hit that verse. He said, Jesus said he would. If you will, you can make me whole. Jesus said, I will, bam, be whole. He said, Jesus ended it right there. Amen. Brothers and sisters, let's admit, that's why a lot of times we miss it. We think that, you know, we get to the point that, well, Lord, I know you can, but will you? Let's get real here. I know you can, but will you? I know you can, but will you? And then you get religious. Well, it might not be God's will for this to happen to me. Let me tell you something. I'm going to stand on this edge because this is my line. God wants you healed. God wants all of us healed. If you say he don't, then I don't agree with you, and I still love you. Healing is in the atonement. It's in the atonement. Huh? According to your faith be it done unto you. Huh? You go to doctors? Yeah, I do. Well, when you go to Dr. Brock, when you go to a doctor, you believe God's going to use that doctor to help get you what you need. That aspirin I take every night does better for me than somebody that don't got covenant. You understand what I'm saying? Because the Bible says healing is my bread. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. We're going to go to Mark 5. Let's go to Mark 5. I'm going to read from the Amplified. I got to get it. Mark 5, where do we want to start? Let's go. Okay. Jesus refused. Okay. Okay, here we go. Let's start. Jesus came back across in the boat. He's thronged by many people. The verse 22 of Mark 5 in Amplified. Then one of the rulers of the synagogue came up, Jairus by name. Seeking him, he prostrated himself at his feet, and he begged him earnestly, saying, my daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, so that she will be healed and live. Huh? May be healed and live. And Jesus went with him, and a great crowd kept following him and pressed him from all sides. as much to suffocate him. In other words, they was pushing on him. There was a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years, who had endured many suffering under the hands of many physicians, had spent all that she had, was no better, but instead grew worse. She had heard the reports concerning Jesus, and she came up behind him in the throng and touched his garment. For she kept saying, remember that, kept saying, if I can only touch his garment, I shall be restored. And immediately her flow of blood was dried up at the source, and suddenly she felt in her body that she was healed of this distressing ailment. And Jesus, recognizing in himself that the power proceeding from him had gone forth, turned around immediately in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? And the disciples kept saying to him, you see the crowd pressing all around you hardly in all sides, and you ask, who touched me? Still he kept looking around to see her who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had been done for her through alarm and frightened and trembling, fell down before him and told him the whole truth. He said, daughter, thy faith, your trust and confidence in me, springing from faith in God, has restored you to health. Go in peace and be continually healed and free from your distress and bodily disease. We'll stop there. Okay, we'll get to Jairus. Okay. She heard, didn't she? She heard. Well, she heard Jesus was healing people, didn't she? Well, guess what she decided? She determined that she was going to get healed. Did you hear me? She didn't say, well, he could. She said, he will. And I will get healed. Now, notice what she did. The Amplified brings out the Greek. She kept saying. She kept saying, if I can touch the hem of his garment. If I can touch the hem of his garment, if I can touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. I'll be made whole. Just let me touch the hem of his garment. Just let me get there. I'll touch that hem of his garment, and I'm going to get healed. That's what she said, right? She kept saying it. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. The word of faith. She was speaking the word of faith. If I'll touch him. Now let's talk about this a minute. John 3:34 said Jesus had the Spirit without measure. The only human being that walked on the face of the earth had the Spirit without measure. So brothers and sisters, I don't know about you, but I've been around Christians before and you could feel the presence of God because of the anointing in their life and their closeness that they're walking with the Lord. You ever been around people like that? Huh? They'd say words and all, and you go, man, you could tell. Well, Jesus had the Spirit without measure, so listen to me closely. People around him could sense the presence of God. Are you with me? They could pull on it. They could feel it. They touched him. Oh, man, this guy's got something. Listen to what I say. You can be in the church service, and the presence of God can come. The healing power of God in manifestation can come. And you can feel it. We sense the glory in this place many times, and it's going to get stronger. Are you with me? When you sense that glory, you need to grab a hold of with your hand of faith. Like my sister, you standing for your back. I'm standing on the word. They might say I have curvature of the spine, but I got a straight back in Jesus' name. When that anointing comes and you sense that anointing, guess what? Reach up there and say, oh, that glory's mine. That glory's mine. You get up in the morning and your back's ailing you, or your heart ain't beating right, or this or that and the other. When you come into the house of God where the glory is, you need to grab a hold of it. Brothers and sisters, that's what she did. She pulled that glory or that virtue out of him because the glory of God is the Spirit of God. The Bible teaches us that. She pulled that anointing. That's what we do. That's why the Word says not to forsake the assembly of the brethren, even the more you see the day of the Lord approaching. Why? Because he's promised us. As darkness covers the earth and gross darkness to people, that the glory of the Lord is going to be seen in His house. The Bible says that the glory of the latter house will supersede the former. The anointing of God, brothers and sisters, is getting stronger in the body. Those who are yielding to His presence and are founded on His Word. So when you come and you dealing with stuff, start grabbing with your hand of faith. I'm serious. I believe that. They sensed the presence of God on Jesus because He had the Spirit without measure. But one of them said, I'm going to get it. And virtue went out of him and he said, where is she? Let's take another situation. That Jesus was at Peter's mother-in-law's house. The Bible says the presence of the Lord was there to heal them. Who got healed that day and only that day? And the only person that got healed in that place, the one who the brothers used their faith and they opened the tiles and lowered that dude down there on that bed. He got healed. The rest of them didn't. But the presence of the Lord was there to heal them. Getting back to my point, faith is what causes us to receive from God. Faith in what God says. Not, I hope one day I'm going to get it. No, you believe it. The devil fights you. Symptoms fight you. He says, my faith's given substance to things hoped for. My faith's given substance to this tremor. My faith's given substance to this. My faith's given substance to this. My faith's given substance to that. I believe what God's Word says. And you know, the devil, he'll lie.
Well, you're just telling a story. You ain't got it.
The Bible says in Romans chapter 4 that God calls things that don't exist in the natural, He calls them and says they are existing. He calls the unexistent stuff to be existing in His words, and it manifests. That's what we do. Therefore I believe, therefore I say, and I have, right? Amen. Well, where was I? Okay. And Jesus went, okay, He went, okay, okay, we passed her. She kept looking around, okay, now look. Listen, what happened next? Remember Jairus? Son's sick, big. He said, come, my child will be healed. Just come, come. And Jesus is headed to His house, and a woman with issue of blood interrupts that journey. But here you go. Verse 35. While He was speaking, there came some of the ruler's house who said to Jairus, your daughter has died. Why bother and distress the teacher any further? Overhearing but ignoring what they said. That's Jesus. Listen. Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not seize with alarm, struck with fear. Only keep on believing. So he was believing. Jesus perceived that he was believing. That brother was believing. Here comes the bad report. Hey, brother, it's too late. Cancer's went from stage one to stage two. You're dead. No. Jesus said, don't listen to that. Don't listen to that. Only keep your faith switch on and keep believing. Are you with me? Keep believing. Now, I was reading all that today and something dawned on me, and I've read this many times. Well, Jairus got, you know, they came and said, hey, your boy's dead. What had just happened, though? Jairus saw a woman who had been 12 years bleeding, healed by the power of God. Don't you know that helped his faith? Amen. It helped his faith right then and there. Think about that part. Think about that part. Why are you saying that, Brother Tony? Think about the people that you know received from God when it looked like they weren't going to receive from God, and you're standing in faith for what you have. You understand what I'm saying? I've been there. Believing God for something, and then all of a sudden, I saw something happen to somebody and they got it. All it did was make me, I got it too, bless God. Amen? Are you with me? Amen. Jesus said, again, keep on believing. And he permitted no one to accompany him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And when they arrived at the house of the ruler of the synagogue, he looked carefully and with understanding at the turmoil and people weeping and wailing loudly. And when he had gone in, he said to them, why do you make an uproar and weep? The little girl is not dead, but is sleeping. And they laughed him and jeered him, but he put them all out. Sometimes you have to do that. Let's stop there a second. You just got to put them out. I've been in full gospels with brothers in the same church. I'm over here, they don't know, I'm standing for something, and I get to hear them, and they're talking about how bad the devil's treating them, you know what I'm saying? They're dealing with this and this. Guess what I do? I put them out. How do you put them out? I just kind of ease around. I don't want to be around it. I want to be around people of faith. I want to be around people that speak the Word of God. I don't want to be around religious people that says, well, God put this on you to teach you something, Brother Tony. Bull. Going on. Then he, and they laughed him. Okay, we went there. He went in where the little girl was lying, gripping her firmly by the hand. He said unto her, Talitha kumi, which is translated, little girl, I say unto you, arise from the sleep of death. Instantly the little girl got up and started walking around. She was 12 years old, and they were utterly astonished and overcome with amazement. Amen? Well, brother, won't that good? Look what Jesus did. Oh, man, this is good here. Tell her what Jesus did. We just read he healed a woman who had an issue of blood for 12 years. He just raised up a 12-year-old girl from the dead. Oh, Jesus is so good. I'm going to bust your bubble. It wouldn't have happened if they wasn't in faith. Did you hear me? It wouldn't have happened if they weren't in faith. Let that soak in. We get religious sometimes. Oh, look what Jesus did. I went to Rhema back in 95, I think it was, to Winter Bible, and I stayed in a motel up there, and it was a great experience. But while I was up there, the Lord said, I want you to go through the Gospels and see how many times people's faith got them healed. So the whole week I was in my Bible. Big 90 plus, more than that percentage of the people that got healed, it was their faith. Did you hear me? Their faith. Their faith. According to your faith, be it done unto you, the Lord Jesus said. Did he not? Amen. Let me look at my clock. Okay. Real quickly, let's go to Luke. Luke 7, and I'm getting ready to end it up here. Hallelujah. Isn't God good? Huh? Let me share this on the way to Luke 7. In the Gospels, the Lord Jesus Christ said, he warned, and we've said this many times from up here. I'll quote one. Matthew said, because sin will abound, the love of many shall wax cold, but they that endure to the end shall be saved. Then in Luke's gospel, in two places, he said, because of what's going on in the earth, many men's hearts will fail them for fear of what they see. The word heart there refers to the soul, psyche, man. Then Jesus said over in Luke's, and also in Luke's gospel, he said, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Actually, the Greek says, will he find a persistency of the faith on the earth? So Jesus said what Paul said we all had in Corinthians, Paul writing to the church of Corinth, Paul said this. He said, because we're in fragmental knowledge, there's been given to us faith, hope, and love. And then he went on, but the grace of this is love, right? You know that. Faith, hope, and love, according to what the Lord Jesus Christ said in the Gospels, would be in scarcity at the end of days, at the end of the age. Did you get that? Faith, hope, and love. Because sin abounds, the love of many will wax cold. That's agape, so that's God's Christian love. Again, men's hearts failing them for fear. Well, where's hope, Tony? Here it is right here. Men's hearts failing them for fear. Hearts there refers to the soul psyche of man. The Bible says, listen to this, hope is the anchor to the soul. Jeremiah 17 says, blessed is the man whose hope is the Lord. So there you go. There's going to be a scarcity of hope. Then Jesus said also in Luke's gospel, he said, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Right there he was talking about the widow and the unjust judge. Faith, hope, and love. So it's up to us to pull our trousers up and say, I'm going to walk in love. I'm going to keep the faith. I'm going to exercise my faith. I'm going to maintain hope in what the Bible calls. See, this is something that a lot of people don't see. When Paul said over there about the prayer to the church at Ephesus in the beginning, he says, and I pray for I pray that you have a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what? The hope of your calling, the riches of the inheritance in the saints, and the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe. The hope of our calling is the rapture of the church. Now, couple that with what Jesus said, because of all the distress that will be going on because of the birth pains in the earth, Jesus said many men's hearts or souls will fail them for fear. Well, we've got hope. Because Jesus said, when you see this, look up. Your redemption draweth nigh. Our blessed hope is the rapture. We're going to be taken out of here, amen? We're going to go, right? The more we see going on, and a lot's been going on, if you know anything about eschatology, a lot's been going on that's fulfilling the word concerning the end of days. We are here. So guess what we're to do? Look up. Look up. Look up. Look up. I'm going to try to get to the centurion here. Okay, here we go. Luke 7, real quickly. After Jesus had finished all that he had to say in the hearing of the people on the mountain, he entered Capernaum. Now, a centurion had a bondservant who was held in honor and highly valued by him, who was sick and at the point of death. And when the centurion heard of Jesus, he sent some Jewish elders to him, requesting him to come and make his bondservant well. And when they reached Jesus, they begged him earnestly, saying, he is worthy that you should do this for him, for he loves our nation. He builds up our synagogue at his own expense. And Jesus went with them. But when he was not far from the house, the centurion sent some friends to him, saying, Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not sufficiently worthy to have you come under my roof. Neither do I consider myself worthy to come to you. But just speak a word, and my servant boy will be healed. Now listen why he knows. For I also am a man daily subject to authority with soldiers under me. I say to one, go, and he goes. To another, come, and he comes. To my bondservant, do this, and he does. Now when Jesus heard this, he marveled at him, and he turned and said to the crowd that followed him, I tell you, not even in all of Israel have I found such great faith as this. And when the messengers who had been sent returned to the house, they found the bondservant, who had been ill, quite well again. Okay. We'll close talking about this a little bit. I heard it taught, Brother Capps mentioned it one time. The greatest faith, you know, the Bible teaches there's great faith and there's little faith, you know. Great faith is when you can believe the Word. Listen to me, when you can believe the Word. That's great faith. Jesus said He marveled at it. In other words, you know the Word has authority over your situation. You don't have nobody to have to pray with you and lay hands on you. You ain't got to do this and you ain't got to, you just speak the Word. You speak what Jesus said. You believe what He said. That's the greatest measure of faith. Now listen to what I'm thinking here. The guy was coming. The Lord was coming to his house. Now this guy wasn't, he didn't have a covenant. He didn't have a covenant with the Jews. He was not one. But he could have let Jesus come and could have let Jesus pray for his servant. But he said, no. No. I know he's done that. I've heard he's done that. I know he lays hands on people. I know people get healed. But just tell him, I know the authority of the words that he speaks. So since I know the words of authority that he speaks, just let him say what he says concerning my servant. Amen. Brian was playing, I get some of this from Brian's playing Jensen Franklin the other day, and he was talking about the word marvel there. That's the only time you see in Scripture that the Lord marveled. He wondered. He said, wow, look at this. Look at this guy. All he's saying is for me just to speak the Word. Just saying, speak it only. I ain't got to go there with the anointing that's upon me, that comes out of me. All he's saying is just speak the Word. Because he knows authority. And he has seen and understood that the words I speak have authority over sickness and disease. Right? Well, let's take it to us. And I'll close. You and I have authority in the Word. You and I can look at our body. I'll share this. I don't mind. I told my brother about it. 2 days, 3 days ago, I'd be sitting around, that little finger go, try to twitch. To the point I would catch myself going, here come the devil. Boy, you got the starting signs of this. You got that. You got this. To the point that I was going to speak to my nurse wife about it. And I said, no. And I was out in the yard, brothers and sisters. Now, ain't nobody knows this but me and the Lord. And He knows I'm telling the truth. I went out there in the yard and I got the hand. I said, in Jesus' name, stop. I said, you got to stop. And I walked away. Did it stop right in? No, it still twitched. But every time it hit my mind and it was twitching, I'd say, I was doing like Abraham. We didn't get there. We were, Romans 4. I was considering not what was going on, but I was considering what he said about my covenant of healing. And I also was considering that I got authority over that. And I can do, this is a fit, I can do just like that centurion. He knew it. I got authority. Speak the Word. Speak the Word. Speak the Word. Now in closing, and I'm going to close. You need to know this. You don't know how many times till you get to heaven you might know. He might reveal it to you then. You don't know how many times that something in a negative frame has come against your body, but because you quoted the word, it fell off. It fell off. You don't know how many times you've been going down the road, and a guy, I thought about this today, you've been going down the road, and somebody was getting ready to swerve and hit you. But because you claim protection by the angels like we do here, huh? You were under, listen to me closely, you were under the authority of that word. So that word said, he gives his angels charge over him. Speak the word. Speak the word. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So we're going to be doers of the word. Amen. We're going to keep feeding on the word of God. Amen. We're going to believe God's word over the circumstances and situations that we encounter in life. We're going to go back to what I learned in 1983. What does my word say? What does God's word say? What does His word say? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we just thank You for this time and this opportunity, Father.